How are we all doing this morning? Good. Good. Isn't it nice to have plus 5 degrees outside? Hey? No. Oh, no. Let's speak to the other people, Tom. Yeah. Snow. Let it snow. Let it snow. Okay. This morning we continue with our series. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And to the visitors, welcome. We're on a series calling Clearing the Mind Field. Clearing the Mind Field. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. While you're turning there, remember we started the series, we're saying, what minds your mind? And that was, we looked at where bad thoughts come from, and what the enemy wants to put in your head, and how the enemy wants to talk nonsense to you. And sadly, we often, including myself, subscribe to that without thinking, is this from God? Is this God's word? Does this line up with God's word? I know, it's like we need to have this like quick filter so that the quick filter shuffles it into line for us. Then last week we looked at choosing the right thoughts, and that's helping us to make good thoughts and to be positive and to look and think good, healthy, positive and not negative thoughts, etc., etc. There's messages online if you want to go and look and catch up. But today is a very practical sermon. So if you never take notes, if you don't normally take notes, today's a good day to take notes. And because the second part will be exceptionally helpful to you. Not just sort of helpful, exceptionally helpful. And as God's children, we've got to be confident about stuff. We got to be expectant. I said to two of the ladies this morning, I'm not going to tell you who they were, and I asked her, I said to the two of them, I said, how are you this morning? How are you doing? The one lady immediately answered and said, I'm beautiful. I was, man, that's a good attitude. Okay. Now you know who it is. I was trying to save you. But you know, we, as King's kids, we got to have a positive attitude about life. You know? Anyway, okay. Anyone want to say amen or anything like that? There we go. Thank you. Thank you. Now I know we're all talking about. So that's what we looked at. And today, I want to talk about. Oh, helps if I. Oh, no. Let's talk. Remember some of the things we said? We said this. We said Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Then we have this. You should all be able to quote this by now. You'll never change your life until you change the way you think. I've got another one for you this morning. But before you read it, just remember punctuation is important. You're not what you think you are, but rather what you think you are. I'm beautiful. Well, not me, the ladies, I mean. Thank you. Chris thinks I'm beautiful. Thank you, Chris. My mother thought I was beautiful. So this morning, I want to talk on thinking for a change. Or, are you thinking for a change? Or are you just thinking for a change? Anyway, you get it. I hope you do. Psalm 1. Do you remember what we were talking about here? We're saying that those who worship God, those who embrace His Word and His ways, the new covenant that we've spoken so much about, we are heirs of His redemption and heirs of His hope. Not our hope, His hope. So let's start verse 1. Blessed is the man. I'll stop right there. Blessed is the man. When the psalmist is writing this, blessed is the man, what he's really saying is, this man is righteous and fruitful in truly happiness, in joy, exuding joy and happiness. He is righteous, not because of his deeds, not because of himself, but because of what Jesus has done for us. And he's saying, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seats of scoffers. Let's just stop there. And let me just help you see something. Deuteronomy chapter 6, you don't have to turn there, verse 7. Remember it said, you shall teach them diligently your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. And here the psalmist is going, now that when you raise up your children and teach your children, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. And here we have a parallel of degree of depravity, scoffers and sinners and wicked people. And sometimes Christians can be wicked too. Well, I'm a Christian, so therefore I'm not wicked. It's just those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because we go back to the very first thing. For as a man thinks, so is he in his. Thank you. Verse 2. But, there's always a but, and the but there means it negates everything else that's just been said. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. This is not just I know about God, I know of God. This is knowing the works of God, knowing who God is, having an intimate relationship with God. He meditates on it day and night. This is a continual, progressive thought process. This is not just a one-off event. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. So just one more time. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And not. And then it goes on, and you can read the rest of it. He's like a tree planted and blah, 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 blah. Wonderful. Let's just have a look at some scriptures that'll help us. I don't know if they're coming up one at a time. Yeah. Let the wicked man forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Hebrews 10:16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law on their hearts and write them on their minds. Romans 16:19. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. Mark 7:20. And he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man come evil thoughts. Hectic, as I would say. Ephesians 4:22. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Whole bunch of scriptures about renewing our mind. We can just go just down Romans 12:1-2 and let's move on. But we want to see, this is just not like a one, let's grab one and proofread a scripture, but this is a pattern through scripture of us developing and progressing and changing our way of thinking. Trustfully, most of you who've been here for more than a year have changed your way of thinking, have looked at things in a different life, have matured in Christ. So this morning, let's just go on to some of these things. Thinking for a change. Point number one, thinking for a change is not automatic. It doesn't just happen involuntarily. Well, I'm a Christian now, so everything's going to change and everything's going to be cool and everything's going to be right. Well, and I don't want to jump ahead of myself, but because they said, come to Jesus and everything will be cool. You'll be fine. I want to tell you that's the first lie of the enemy. And anybody who preaches that is lying. I don't know how to say that gently. How do I know that? I'm going to tell you that. It's a process. But God and us are in the process together. We're on a journey with Him. We're journeying with Him. Not He's journeying with us. And I think that's the first paradigm shift we've got to change. I journey with Jesus. He doesn't journey with me. I'm happy that I'm following Him. He's the great shepherd. He leads me to quiet waters and green grass so that I can restore my soul. Psalm 10:7 says, in his pride the wicked does not seek him. In all his thoughts there is no room for God. In the ESV it says, he says in his thoughts there is no God. Slight little variation on it. But when we read according to, and we read what we just think about, what we've just read in Psalm 1, excuse me, says, don't pay attention to the counsel of the wicked. Those whose hearts are not for God, with us, because you belong here, don't pay attention to their counsel. Don't pay attention to the counsel of the wicked because they have an agenda. They have their own agendas. Your greatest counselor is the Holy Spirit. He says He will guide us and lead us into all truth. Ephesians 4:17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. In the futility of their minds, they are darkened in their understanding. It carries on to say they are ignorant in their thinking. Because when people have their own agenda, they're either arrogant or ignorant. And there could be that third word too, if you want to make it up. Rejecting the true knowledge of God that he spoke about because they think they are now enlightened. I'm now enlightened. I know. It's like going to your maths teacher in grade one and saying, I heard the first lesson, I'm cool now, it's okay, we don't need the rest, I'm done. I know maths. If you ask me, not. Reading, writing, arithmetic. Oh, yeah. No knowledge whatsoever. Great rugby player, great athlete, great swimmer. 10 out of 10. Remember, we are part of the new creation. That's where we get to 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 18. The second one, number one, it's not automatic. There's some effort we have to put in. We're going to talk about that. Thinking for a change takes effort. Oh, I just don't want to do that. I just want to say I'm saved and come to church once in a while and then we're all good. No. I tried this thing. I tried being a Christian. It doesn't really work. I don't get it. As I said earlier, too many people have subscribed to the lie. Just come to Jesus and all be okay. It will be okay into eternity, but there's a quality of life that we got to live on this earth. And there's maturing in Him. And there's works that He has prepared for us. And I think somebody mentioned it to me this morning. Said, we are body, soul, and spirit. Hot tip. This dear old body that, I'm going to talk about me, I'm not going to talk about you. This dear old body, the day I was born, started to decay. And grow. And mature. And now, at maturity, not in Christ, in me, I now have aches and pains and bumps and lumps that are, where'd that thing come from? I mean, I was feeling my finger the other day and I got a lump and I'm thinking, what the heck, where did that come from? Yeah, and then you sit on the couch for too long and then you get up and you... My family looks at me, what's wrong with you? I said, knees were a little bit stiff there. Yeah, so you're like the old Tin Man and the Wizard of Oz, you know. I can do this. Did I talk enough about the body? Yeah. Then we're made body, soul, and spirit. As I've said before, underneath all this lurks a good body. Stay with me. Then we get to our spirit man. Bible tells us very clearly, the spirit man is dead. But then when we come to Christ Jesus, and we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, my spirit is made alive. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. All things have become new. I repent of my sins. I'm a new creation. My spirit's new. I'm the righteousness of God. The righteousness in His perfection. When I repent, we've heard me say this many times, metanoia, the good, happy Greek word. You know, all good words come from the Greeks. When I repent, I make a mental U-turn. I change the way I think. I turn from guilt to forgiveness, from purposelessness to purpose, from no hope to new hope, from frustration to freedom, from darkness to light, from hell to heaven, from hatred to love. These are all the wonderful things that happen when my spirit man comes alive. And I get to, when I read the word, I go, wow, I didn't see that before. I understood that. Why? Because my spirit man's alive. And then there's the third thing, our soul, body, soul, and spirit. And some people might tell you, it's all okay, we're all good, but I'm telling you that our souls, which are made up of our five senses and everything else that goes on and wrong up here, and works into here and then comes out of here, needs reparation. Needs stuff to be done. And my spirit is alive and I'm living and I'm headed for eternity. So the word is sanctification. And it's a process of getting sanctified in Him. Number one, salvation. Comes with salvation. 1-2, I'm justified, I'm saved. Just as if I'd never sinned before. 2-3, well Mark, why is it a flat line and not a... This thing's clever, look what it can do, I think. Ooh. Anyway, 2-3, I am the righteousness of God. You can never be more righteous than you are now. It's not a progressive thing. Jesus died. The fullness of everything that Jesus died for upon the cross, the blood He shed, the full sacrifice, the once and for all, the last Adam, the first and last Lamb of God, when He died and sacrificed upon the cross, and I became His righteousness, the imputed righteousness. That's the beautiful song we sung about grace this morning. I'm covered by His grace. I'm not only covered by, I am His grace because Jesus is grace. He's not a feeling or a thought or an idea. He is grace. And when I'm covered in that, I'm encapsulated, I'm encloaked in it. I am righteous, and that's why there's no like, well, how do I get more righteous? Now you are, and that's something people battle with. That's what you've said before. Raise holy hand. Ooh, I'm not so holy. No, you are. Right thinking. You never change the way you live until you change the way you think. Man's sinfulness carries on. Sanctification is progressive. Some people might teach that it's a one-off thing too. I don't believe that. I believe that go on and on. Because if sanctification was a one-off event, when I gave my life to Jesus, I would never ever sin again. I would float on 3 inches above the ground and I would glow in the dark. And when things happen, because I know it doesn't happen to most of you, I know, something happens and a little trigger goes off in your head and all of a sudden people look at you and go, who's that? Don't know who that person is. I spoke to you last week after I got saved. Road rage. Now, put your head down. And I remembered when I was in the military. I told you I'd spent some time in the military. And then my first mission trip with Kia went back to preach in the zone we were in the military. And as we crossed the border, Kia and I both looked at each other. And I felt something rise up in me because I saw the bullet holes in the walls that hadn't been repaired. And I saw the bomb craters and I was like, something inside of me was screaming in my head. Get out of here! I'm saved. War's over a long time ago. I haven't got PTSD. You know, I'm not freaky or anything. I might have at one stage had it, but I don't know. The point I'm making is that I was saved. But there was stuff in my soul that was still a little bit messed up. And it's a process in maturing in Christ. I hope you see that. Ephesians 4:21. Since you have heard about Jesus Christ and have learned the truth that comes from Him. Let's just break this down. That's salvation. Since you heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, I'm now saved. Throw off your old self. This is like getting dressed. This is taking off your old self, your sinful nature, your former way of life. The things I used to do, I do no more. I went from purposelessness to purposeful. I went from hell to heaven. I went from darkness to light. That's this whole thing I'm talking about. Ooh. Which is corrupted by lust and deception. I'm not talking about just like sexual lust, but any lust of the flesh. Any lust that you have, anything that is greater than you. Remember, I don't know which part one or part two, we spoke about strongholds in your lives that you need to pull down and take hold of and walk in victory over. Throw off your old sinful nature, your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. That's sanctification. I'm throwing it off. I'm putting on a brand new suit. I had these old filthy rags, you know, the Bible says, and now I have got my heavenly robe on, my robe of righteousness. And I'm walking in that. And every now and then my foot slips on the highway a little bit. And then the problem is we go, oh, I'm such a sinner, I'm such a worm. And Jesus doesn't love me and God is so far and the heavens are brass and I can't break through. Nonsense. That's how you feel. That's what's in your head. The truth remains, heavens are open. We have to wage war and we have to pull down this, we have to pull down that. No, Jesus did that on the cross. He made an open heaven for us. We live under an open heaven. Okay, amen, Mark. Okay. Where am I? Instead, verse 23, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Man, we can have such sucky attitudes. I can have such sucky attitudes. Well, this thing is not working for me. I can't make Jesus work for me. The worship sucked. They don't play my songs. We can't talk about the curtains in this church because we've got none. That's why we took them down. Well, the carpeting is not nice. The grey and the brown don't go together. The guy who plays the lead guitar, he plays that way too loud. And those drums. There we go. Now we're killing some sacred cows. Okay, anyway, let's move on. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts. Instead of debating and arguing and fighting, just go, Jesus, I surrender to you. I am yours. You are mine. I'm in process. I'm walking along with you. I don't get why they like to sing that song, but hey man, I'm just pressing into Jesus. Allow Holy Spirit to change your thoughts and attitudes. Verse 24. Put on your new nature created to be like God. Put it on. It's a process. Well, I'm half dressed and now you're wanting me to run out the door. Truly righteous and holy, you must, in the New Living Translation it says, you must display a new nature because you are a new person. Created in God's likeness, righteousness, holy and true. Do you get that? Okay. You. Say me. Okay. Must display a new nature because I am a new person created in God's likeness. I am righteous, holy, and true. The scripture says it. I believe it. Not because Mark says it. And I'm taking way too long. Okay, I'm not shouting. The guy's just got me turned up loud. Thinking for a change will change your life. It's not automatic. It does take effort, but it will change your life. If you're waiting for circumstances to come right, to be happy, hot tip, you're going to have lots of unhappiness. Peace is not dependent on if there are no wars in the world. Well, let's just have world peace. That would be nice, but truly that's not what the Bible says, but anyway. Peace is not dependent on how people treat you. Peace is not dependent, parents, on how your kids behave. Children, not how your parents behave. Husbands, not how your wife behaves. Husbands, not wives, not how your husbands behave. It's not how they behave that is the barometer for peace. God gives us peace. And sometimes we have to push through the doors that keep to be closing, or you know, the little hedges that keep growing in front of us. And we got to get in there with our the word of the Spirit and the sword and shield and, okay, you get it. Romans chapter 16. You got to get all that stuff and get there. Ephesians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true. What is true is God gives us peace. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is anything in excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. It's not to do with your sentimentalities or my sentimentalities. It's very quiet in here. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, it'll all be done for you. No. Practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. We say, God, change my circumstance. Change whatever your circumstance might be. God, change this for me. Change that for me. It's like God's just like Father Christmas sitting in heaven waiting to dish out presents for you because I've messed up and, oh, God, change the circumstance. No, right thinking, right choices, right decisions, walking in His, and stuff does happen. Sorry, I keep spitting. Stuff does happen. Good stuff happens to good people. Bad stuff happens to good people. We don't know why, but that's part of living in a fallen world. Thank the Lord that we have Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit in our lives, that we have a, not a crutch, but that we're able to think above, a coping mechanism if you like, I don't know, whatever's good for you. John 16:33, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Oh, we don't like that verse. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Come to Jesus, it'll all be right. No, Bible says, come to Jesus and you're going to have some troubles. But don't worry, He overcame all that for us on the cross. A very practical message of helping, clearing the minefield, thinking for a change. But the question is, because by now we should be saying, well, what are the how-tos, Mark? So what I've called it is a Ways and Means Committee. And this is where you really need to take notes. How do we do this, Mark? Well, as I said to Chris, sorry for the alliterations, but here we go. Yeah, how are we doing? I don't know. Battery's on. Okay. Here we go. A plan. We need a plan to decipher your thoughts. I told you it's going to be very practical. We need a plan that's going to help us decipher our thoughts. Sorry, I hit this thing and it all went wrong. Where are we? A plan to decipher. The question is, do you have a plan? What kind of plan are you talking about? I'm so glad you asked. My question to you, what are you going to read in God's Word tomorrow? Don't put your hands up. Have you a plan? Have you got a plan? Were you thinking that, come Monday, I need to get in the Word. Actually, come Sunday, I need to be in the Word. Before I get to church, have you a plan? What are you going to be reading tomorrow? Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and marrow. And we stop reading there. Yes, the Word of God. That's what it is. Why is it like that? I'm so glad you asked. And discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's what the Word of God's meant to do. It's meant to slice right down to the bone. So we open up and you go, oh, they're my thoughts and my attitudes. Oh, I can make adjustments when I see this. The key is the Bible. It's God's Word. If you do not read the Bible, you do not know God's Word. And then you think you know God's Word, and then you say stuff and you go, that didn't sound right. Or you believe a plan to get your thoughts, the point is to get your thoughts in the right direction, to decipher your thoughts. It's a turning point. You see a little sign there that says it's just turning point, just ahead. Beginning of the year, you're at a turning point. Get a plan. Make the effort. It's not automatic. His mercies are new every morning. Each day we can direct or decipher our thoughts. David, when you read David's Psalms, how many times you read them, he goes, "Oh God, how far are you from me? Oh God, how upset I am. Oh, thou, my soul, why are you so downcast?" Psalm 28, he basically says, "God, why are you so deaf and you're not even speaking to me?" "Well, the heavens are brass and I can't get through." When last did you sit down and get into the Word? This is not feel go home, feel condemned. But you find that David, by the time he gets to all the Psalms, he's rejoicing, "You my rock, you my fortress, you my shield, you my Savior. You the one who goes ahead of me. You protect me from beginning and front and behind. And you're all around me. And you're amazing, God." Why? Because he's gone in and he's directed his thoughts. He's deciphered his thoughts in where to go. Do we sometimes feel, "Oh, how downcast is my soul?" Yes, I do. But then I've got to get to the Word. And I've got to get into worship and I've got to listen and I've got to read and I've got to say, "Oh God, you're amazing. I didn't see that before." The other day, can I just be honest with you? My wife's going to probably freak out. I felt so despondent about a month ago. I just said to Bridget, "Maybe it's time we quit." I just said, I think it's time. I don't know what we're going to do. We should just... I just feel like quitting. I can't do this anymore. I'm driving to the church. And I stop it. I like to read number plates on cars. And there's a car next to me. You know what the number plate was? "Don't quit." I'm going, okay. God will use anything to speak to us. I'm not in depression. I'm not in suppression, oppression, all that kind of stuff, you know. I'm just telling you, sometimes we also feel, "Why is my soul so downcast? God, why are you deaf? You're not listening to me." No, but then we've got to read the rest of it. We can't read half of it. You've got to read all of it. Changed attitude. Declaring God's greatness that Kevin so helped us to see the goodness and greatness of God. God's Word has the power to comfort and change the direction of the things that are squirrely in our lives. Or squirrely, however you want to say that. Word can confront and give input. Remember TGIM? I know, I see you on Facebook. TGIM! Yay! TGIM! Ugh. No, we should be TGIM. Man, I'm going to go and I'm going to preach the gospel and I'm going to be a light shining. I'm going to be salt and I'm going to be light and I'm going to bring life to that workplace today or that school or that college or wherever we're going on a Monday. Get a plan. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Google it. There's so much stuff you can Google. A one-year reading Bible plan. You can read the Bible chronologically. You can read it in 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 6 months if you've got the time. Get a plan. Because, you know, reading God's Word every day is, "Oh, so spiritual." No, it's not. It's a discipline. It takes effort. The spiritual comes out when I read the Word and I go, "Wow. Probably read that verse 163 million times, never ever saw that before. Wow. Holy Spirit, guide me and lead me into all truth." We don't have many points here, so we'll be done soon. Next one. A place to determine your thoughts. What does that mean? I'm so glad you asked. There's so much clamoring. I don't know, can you see those little spit things coming out? Don't get too close, you'll get showered. Yeah, there we go. In the spit zone, the anointing is flowing. Okay, stop, Mark. Naughty pastor. The world and everything. Who's got an iPhone, a smartphone, any kind of phone? Hold it up. That thing is going to kill you. I'm trying. So what do you think what Jesus did today? What? What did Jesus do for you today? Yeah, okay. It's like seeing those little kids at the front there with those, PSP, TSP, RDP things. DS, thank you. I don't even know what they are, man. "Hi, how are you guys this morning?" There's a big snake behind you. Focused. We got to be focused on God's word. So what are the point? A place to determine your thoughts. Find a place to shut out the world. Put your cell phone away. I'm trying. But shall I tell you what? I haven't got that right yet myself. Bing. Bing. Some more bad news in the world. Put it away. Leave it in another room. God really wants to talk to you. Put away all social media. The only media we should be is me and God for this period of time. How many hours, Mark? 15 minutes, man. You know, whatever is available. The key to this thing is prayer. Now prayer, this kind of prayer, this time of devotion time, this is not a dumping ground prayer. This is not, I had a bad day yesterday, Lord, I hope I have a better day today. Fix my problems. Fix that. It's a place, listen carefully, where you can determine and allow your thoughts to align with His thoughts. That's why the Word is so important. That's why communicating with Him is so important. God, what do you say on this subject? What are you saying about this to me in my life? Luke 5:16, but he would withdraw to a desolate place and pray. How's this? Jesus knew the purpose and the plan. Do you think Jesus was confused when he came to earth? No, he knew exactly why he came. He knew there was going to come a time when he was going to get beaten, spat on, scoffed, scorned, stand in the council of the wicked, sit in the seat of the scoffers, be beaten, taken to the cross, nailed to the cross, a spear stuck in his side, thorn in his throat, bloody and bleeding, and he would die for us. He knew that. It wasn't like, oh gee, that I got, like, this is like amazing. But you know, the closer he got to the time, humanity kicked in. And in the garden, when he went away to pray by himself, he said, Father, take this cup from me. 3 times. And the Father said, no. And then he aligned his thoughts with the Father's thoughts. And he said, your will be done. And he went to the cross for us. And sometimes we have to get to a place where we can just be alone. Allow our thoughts to line up with His thoughts. We need a plan and a place, and we need the Bible, and we need prayer. A people to develop your thoughts. One of the reasons why we have life group and we have coffee fellowship and we get together and we can talk and we have our culture of Feast of Nations and as I said, life groups. Ecclesiastes 4:19, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fail, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has no one out to pick him up. How sad. Explore your thoughts. Hot tip here, if you're taking notes. Explore your thoughts with VIP people. Very important people. Explore your thoughts with VPP. Very positive people. VEP, very encouraging people. Do not mix and explore your thoughts with VNPs, very negative people, or VDPs, very draining people. They come away going, that's good, I just puked all over that person, I just erupted all my insecurities, I feel good now. And you're going, why are you so downcast, oh my soul? That's more said in jest, but I'm serious. Don't hang around with negative people all the time. Encourage them. Hey, you need to stop the negativity. Get positive with me. Come on, let's work this out. Next one. We need a purpose to download your thoughts. Acts 2:17, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." God hasn't just got a purpose for us, He has a plan for us. How do you know, Mark? I'm so glad you asked. Ephesians 2:10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." He has good works for you and for me and for your neighbor and for your friend and for your family, and we possibly don't even have the same. Because His good works that He prepared for me are not the same as yours. And they're all different. And that's what makes us an eclectic bunch of wonderful people coming together, working out the purpose. God, what is it? And I've said this before, and I'm not being funny, but most people go, I don't know what my purpose is. Number one, your purpose is Jesus Christ. Allow Him to lead and guide, and you follow. And He will take you into what your purpose is and His plan for your life is. I told you I'd be quick. Last one. We need a power to direct our thoughts, or direct your thoughts. God has given us a power to recognize, in order that we can align our thoughts with Him. Because, you know, otherwise, you've heard, when there's more than one, the one thought, how's the thing go? There's more than one, there's not divine, it's division. You know what I'm saying. No, you don't? Okay. Sorry? I'll think of it. I'll write to you all in the week. No, I won't. You can think about it. One direction, if there's more than one direction, it's division. So, that kind of stuff. But you need to recognize and align your thoughts and His work through Him and direct your thoughts into what He is saying to you. Isaiah 55:9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." Well, I know exactly what God's thinking. No, you don't. I'd like to think I know what God's thinking. I think sometimes I get close to what God's thinking. But His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Ephesians 3:20, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us." What power is that? Holy Spirit. We need the Bible. We need prayer. We need fellowship. We need to mature in Christ Jesus. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in us, so that we can have a ways and means committee. I trust you will go away and think about this a little bit more differently than perhaps you have. And I do know that being disciplined to get in the Word is a difficult task. I can't remember who it was, maybe Bridget or Fresh, the guy who fell asleep all the time, stood on the bath. No. One of the great guys, he used to wake up in the morning, I'm having my quiet time, and he'd wrap himself, sit up in his pillow and sit and get his Bible out and start to read his Bible. I'm having my quiet time. His wife would run in half an hour later, wake up. So to discipline himself, I know this is extreme, he would get up and stand on the bath and pray and read God's Word while he stood on the bath. I mean, I know what it's like. We used to have these things when things were going bad in South Africa, before the elections and anti-apartheid and post-apartheid, all that kind of nonsense. And we would in the church have 24-hour prayer slots. So we had a thing you could sign up for your prayer slot. And of course, Bridget thought it was spiritual to wake up at 3 o'clock and pray in the morning. So she would sign up us for 3 to 4 o'clock in the morning. Go, babes, can't we do like 9 to 10 at night, then we go to bed? Or 5 to 6 in the morning, and then we get dressed and go to... No, 3 o'clock in the morning. And so the... Wonderful, yes. So we got up in the first time, and remembering the story, I thought, now I'll just kneel on the bed. So we knelt down. So Bridget said, okay, I'm going to pray. I said, okay, pray. Yes, first time we ever prayed together. And so, Bridget's praying. Oh Lord Jesus, we come against the enemy and this and that, and we want this. and she snuffed, and all she could hear was this beautiful sonorous tone. There's me with my head stuck in the pillow on my knees. Hey, wake up. I said, okay, we're going to get up, we're going to make coffee, we're going to drink coffee, and then we're going to pray. And anyway, we have the power to direct our thoughts. Do not allow the enemy to come any longer and put stinking thinking in your head. All these 5 points that I just brought up, get a plan. If you don't have a disciplined plan, get one. If you don't know how to do it, come and I'll get it for you. I'll help you. I really want us to be people of the Word and Spirit. There are people that know God's Word. Not just know about God, but know God. Father, we come to you today, Lord Jesus, and we offer ourselves to you once again. And Father, we thank you that you are such a caring Lord, that you are such a caring Father, Lord, that you love us. Lord God, that you have the best intentions for us. Father God, that you have provided us with your Word that would divide and look at the attitudes and the thoughts of our hearts, Lord God, that we could make adjustments, that we could make paradigm shifts, Lord. Father, that we could come and we could truly say, Father, teach me your Word, teach me your ways, let my heart be aligned with yours, Lord. I have no agenda here. I come and submit myself to you, Lord God. Let your name be glorified, Jesus. Let us lift up his name, bring glory and honor to his name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.